Morning. I usually try to bring an article written by Pastor Gene Harmon. And this morning, it is no different. He writes in a previous bulletin, he says, "All who are dead spiritually, religious or not, speak a different language than those who have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them. Even that old wretched man, that God's children are still plagued with it, will at times fill our thoughts with the language of the world. However, those who have heard the life-giving voice of Jesus Christ have been enlightened by the Spirit of Christ who dwells in us. And all of us speak the same gospel language of sovereign grace. All of us believe the one true gospel of God's sovereign, amazing grace that He freely bestows upon His elect through the perfect redeeming work of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grace for the glory of Christ, our blessed Redeemer, flows from the lips of those who have the honor of talking about spiritual truths." I say amen to that. I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. Listen to these words. "I love to tell the story." What story? The very same story Pastor Gene was talking about in that article. Grace. 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 Brother Steve Doyle preached one time in Gene's absence. That was the title for his message. One of the best messages I've ever heard from this pulpit. Grace. Grace. More grace. "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderful and sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungry and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I will sing the new song, the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have so longed to sing. I love to tell a story." The story of our Savior who came from glory is an old, old story indeed. Who do you think told the story first? God Almighty. He told it to Adam by slaughtering an animal and taking the hide of the animal, the skins of that animal, and clothing Adam. You know what that is, don't you? That's a picture of the righteousness of man, which was none. A naked man. That's what the Lord said. They were naked. And now they are clothed with something else. For there was nothing to clothe them of their own. And He told His two boys about it, Cain and Abel. That's how they knew. One knew that he was to bring an offering, a sacrifice. And Cain, he brought one made with his own hands, and the Lord had no respect for it at all. You see where the story began? Not just with them, it began even before that. The story begins with this: in the beginning, God created. It actually even starts before that, because the Scripture tells us that there was a covenant made between the three in one before a star ever twinkled in the sky. So the story of Christ and his glory goes way back, further than you and I could ever come up with. There are many who say that Christ was not preached in the Old Testament, but those who have had the light of God shined in a new heart, those who have been given new ears to hear, they see the true glory of God the Father written in his word from cover to cover. Today the story begins when the day of life comes to a believer. Look at verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 12 with me. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Whew! In that day. Pastor Gene's going to preach on that very thing. He said, John, go home tonight and consider these verses. And I did. And wow, the message has just started flowing from there. He's going to preach on it in 3 weeks. You can listen to him. He's going to preach for Gabe Sterniker in 3 weeks. So if you want to go to Sermon Audio, you can hear him preach. It'll be live, I believe. If God be for you, if your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was, if you are one for whom the Father hath given to his Son, if you are one for whom the Son shed his own blood, cleansing you from all your iniquity, if you are one of his chosen people, chosen from before the foundation of the world, this message is for you. And in that day thou shalt say. There's a lot of people who say, Christ, look at all the good works that we've done. Look at all the devils we've cast out in your name. And what did our Lord say to those men? I never knew you. That word new is something intimate. God knows everybody, but he never knew them intimately. There's a day coming when every one of God's children, and those of you and I who have come to that day, know what this is saying. Thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. We have to be brought to know that we are sinners. Oh, how backwards we have it in this life. What a good little boy you are. What a good little girl you are. Never telling us that we were sinners from the day we were born. In that day, it's speaking of the day of your regeneration. The day you first heard the gospel preached, not hearing with the ears of the flesh from a man who stood before you with the flesh, but hearing with the ears of the heart, the new heart that God had given you. And if you have heard that message, you know what I'm talking about. Because the first thing God teaches us when he regenerates the soul is how lost in sin that we were. How lost in sin that the flesh is. How dead humankind is spiritually. There is no life in us. In that day is the day of regeneration. In that day you have received by the irresistible grace faith to believe in him. That's what he calls it in Ephesians 2. God-given faith, a gift of him, not of works, lest man should boast. In that day when a child of the Most High, one who is chosen from before the world was, one who is said, of whom the Father giveth me, I shall lose none. A man or a woman or a child are called from the natural darkness that all mankind are born into. all mankind born into being dead in trespasses and sin, you will cry out, O Lord, I will praise thee. We praise him for his mercy that we can now see. Once I was blind, but now I see. We praise him for his grace. Why? Because we once knew that we were blind. Picture that man who was born blind that the Lord healed, because that's a picture of each and every one of God's children. Could you imagine trying to describe to that man the color blue? Try it sometime. Just picture in your mind, you know, that blue is, well, it's blue. That blind man couldn't tell the difference of what you're talking about one bit, and that's the way the world is around us. That's the way John Reeves was until the day the Lord opens our hearts and shines his light in us. We know that we were blind. We know that the light was turned on, and it was God who turned it on in us. Not of us, O Lord, but of thee be the glory. We know by the preaching of his gospel there was a time when we could not see the truths of God. We know now by the preaching of his gospel that we were blind and could not see the truths of his word. We know now that by the preaching of his gospel we have been made aware of our state before a thrice holy God, and with understanding of what we deserve, we cry out, praise his name. In that day when he opened our blind eyes, we cried out, praise you, my Lord, for your mercy. Your anger has been turned away. What I deserve has been laid on my Savior. Where was it turned to? It was turned to my substitute. You want to bring the gospel down into one word? There it is. What I deserve was laid on my substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where was it turned to? It was turned to my sacrifice. The same sacrifice that Abel pointed to when he slaughtered that animal and served it up for a sacrifice. Where was his anger turned to? It was turned to my scapegoat. His anger was turned upon the one who hung in my stead. The one who was perfect. The only one who knew no sin. The one who came down from glory that was his and was made in the likeness of man. Born of a virgin, not of the seed of Adam, but of the seed of the Holy Ghost. Where was it turned to? Where was the anger of God that I deserve turned to? It was turned to the only man that ever walked this earth in perfect submission to his righteousness, to his law, perfectly fulfilling every dot, every T. Never once was there any guile in his lips. It was turned to the one who is God in the flesh. Our Lord said to Abraham, or said to Abraham's son through Abraham, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. His anger was turned to God in the flesh, my Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. We shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people. He is the Son of the living God. And because he laid down his life and he took it up again, for my sins, I am comforted in this sinful flesh. We were talking about this in our Bible study this morning about how often. How often do you need forgiveness from the Lord? Every moment of every breath I take. Romans 8:1, it says this. You want to talk about something great to hear? This is awesome to hear. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Is that good news? To a sinner, that's great news, isn't it? Where was the wrath of God that I deserve turned to? It was turned to my Lord and Savior. And He took all of it. Where was the wrath that all of God's children deserve laid upon? It was laid upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see His mercy? Do you see His love for you? It's because He's shown it to you. There was a day in everyone's hearts where we all walked saying, I will not have that man that hung on that cross rule over me. And even in that day, He still ruled over us. Look at verse 2 with me, if you would, please. Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, stop what you're doing. Listen to this. Hear the good news. God is my salvation. Not something John has done. Not something anyone else can do. Not something I have bought. Nothing you can buy. No, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Folks, this is the gospel song. It's a song of triumphs in Christ, and for the church, triumphs in our Lord Savior. There is victory over death, and that is in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. The blood shed on that cross just over 2,000 years ago was the blood of the Lord Jehovah. And knowing that very fact, we see the power in that blood, and it is comforting to a sinner's soul. The Son of God is my salvation. There is nothing of this flesh that can add anything to it. But here's some good news. Not only can I not add anything to my salvation, I can't take anything away from it either. Who's going to separate God's people from the love that is in Christ Jesus? I try. I do. And so do all of you. I know, because the flesh, it profiteth nothing. In the flesh we are weak. But there is victory in our Lord and Savior. And when He says there's victory, that's absolute. Same thing as when He says shout. When the Lord says shall, is there any possibility that it won't? No. My sheep hear my voice is what He said. Knowing the power in that blood is comforting indeed. The Son of God is my salvation. There is nothing in the flesh that can add anything to it, nor is there anything in the flesh that can take away from it. Salvation is of the Lord. It is finished, were His final words on that cross. And my faith in Him is a resting place. Not in my device or creed. I trust the ever-living One. His wounds for me will plead. He is my strength. There is nothing in this flesh that I can put any trust in. To a true believer, Christ is all. If we begin to think more of ourselves than we should, as Peter did when he walked on water and began to sink, so shall we. But here's good news. The Lord has loved us from before the world was, and He will not let you go. You cannot lose your salvation. Christ has already secured it. It's done. Remember, I'm talking to God's people. I'm talking to those who shall praise Thee, though Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. In that day, I'm talking to God's people. That's what Isaiah was doing. He was a prophet of God, preaching Christ to the people of Israel. Here's what you're going to do when the Lord calls you out of darkness. You're going to praise His name. There's no maybes about it. There's no ifs. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Him. I love that because John used to run his own way for a long time. Just as each and every one of us sitting in this room today. My faith is in Him. He is my resting place. I don't have any trust. I don't have any confidence in this flesh that stands before you. My trust and confidence is in Him. Once again, we see the greatness of His mercy. The greatness in His grace. The greatness in His love for us. Verse 3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Folks, the wells of salvation are not many. It's like Mike said here a moment ago about the river, the Red River. It ran once. But because it ran once, it continuously runs forever and ever. It covers all of our iniquities. Not just the ones we had, but the ones we have and the ones we will have. Salvation is complete in Him. The wells of salvation. Let me restart that. Folks, the wells of salvation are not many, for there is only one well, but that well is one that will never dry up. It's a continuous well to all who come to it. A well that continuously fills the cups of His people. Just as the Lord did with those men in the ship that were fishing, when they saw that it was Him, He said, cast your net on the right hand of the ship, and the nets were full. So full that they almost burst. Any normal time they would have burst, but it was a miracle of God that they didn't. Turn if you would, hold your place there in Isaiah. We're going to come back to it and finish that chapter, but hold your place there and turn over to the fourth chapter of John, will you please? John chapter 4. Before I join you there, allow me to read from John chapter 7, verse 38. We read this, He that believeth on Me. Who are the He's? He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, the Red River runs, brother. And it just continues to run. Oh, that's just such... Brother, I'm telling you, I had no idea you were going to sing that song this morning. Look how it all rolls right along with the song. This is God's doing. These are the things that we take such a joy in seeing the Lord working in. Once again, we see a picture of the mercies of God and that they are continuous. But as we read in Ephesians 1:3, it says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All these rivers, all these wells, all these blessings are in Him. Look with me, if you would, at verses 1 through 14 of John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made the baptized more than the disciples and John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples, He left Judea. Now I want you to look at these words very, very carefully. He, Our Lord left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs, in other words, of necessity, he must needs go through Samaria. Christ Jesus must needs? That's the same thing as shalls. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Isn't that right? He must needs go to Samaria because there's somebody in Samaria that must come to him. He must go through Rescue California because there's somebody in Rescue that must come to him. Oh, getting the picture? Here's the rivers, the wells of living water. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied. Oh, doesn't that bless you? That blesses me as much as knowing that Christ Jesus himself sang hymns. Did you know that? Christ sang hymns with the disciples one evening. Sat around singing a hymn. That just... I'd love to hear his voice. We do. We do right here. How sweet it sounds, doesn't it? He thirsteth. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast that the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whoever drinks of the well of the world will continuously thirst. But whosoever, verse 14, drinketh of the water that I shall give him, did you catch that? That I shall give him. Where did I go? That I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Notice the word springing. Springing gives you the indication that it's not just a spring, it's just not come up for a little bit and it's done. It's continuous, is it not? Springing. A continuous flow of mercies renewed over and over. We need those mercies renewed each day, each hour, each moment, don't we? Go back to our text now and close with me in verses 4 through 5, back in Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day when the Lord comes to one of his chosen people, reveals what it is they deserve. Reveals to the mind the sinners that we are. Oh, the grace of God shines bright, doesn't it? And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Oh, our God is so great. You know what he did? Do you know who he is? Do you know what he's done? Do you know what he's doing right now? Oh, he's being God. Because that's who he is. And he's doing exactly what God does, rules over everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ sits on his throne this very moment, working everything out according to his counsel for the good of his people. And if you're one of his, you can praise him for that. Knowing what we deserve, we praise him for his mercy and grace upon us. Verse 5, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. In other words, let this be known in all the earth. The Great Commission, as I said 2 weeks ago, is this. Go ye unto the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Cry out, verse 6, and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. How great is your God? Is your God sitting around wanting?